To God alone wise be honor and glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Our text this morning is taken from Jesus' encounter with the Samaritan woman at the well. We read from John chapter 4, selected verses. Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." Jesus said to her, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." So far, God's holy word. There's a World War II story about a U.S. aircraft that went down in the Pacific Ocean. Eight survivors ejected and floated on three inflatable life rafts for 3 weeks with hardly any food and the occasional rainwater to drink. During the ordeal, a young sergeant, starving and thirsty almost to the point of death, looked around at all that ocean water around them, and he gave in to the temptation. He managed to drink several large gulps before his comrades noticed and pulled him back into the raft. But the damage was done. The extreme saltiness of the water made his thirst excruciatingly worse, and he was dead by the 13th morning. This wound up being the only fatality of the crew before they were rescued 7 days later by Navy patrol planes. In our text this morning, we learned about a woman who was thirsty too. No, it wasn't to the same life-threatening degree as the young sergeant lost at sea, but it was thirstiness nonetheless. Day after day, traveling in the heat of the noon sun, she would hoist her large empty water jug over her shoulder, and she would begin the long walk to Jacob's Well outside of town, where she would then fill it up to the brim, and begin the heavier, more strenuous journey back home. This was life. Whenever the water ran dry, it was back to the well again, over and over again. In light of this, we turn our attention to our theme for this morning. Leave your water jar behind. With it, you will always run dry. Without it, you will receive springs of living water. May the Lord bless our study. Jesus is giving this woman the opportunity of a lifetime. He said, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water I will give him will never be thirsty again." Wow. Just think of that. For this woman, that would mean never having to take that long walk to the well again. It would mean never again having to expose herself in the most public place of town. Never again hearing the gossip from her neighbors around her about the things she's done in her life and the choices she'd made. To this woman, the man was offering freedom. Freedom from labor, and also freedom for answering for those things she's done. It goes on. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." She answered him, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You were right in saying, 'I have no husband.' You've had five, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you've said is true." This woman was living in sin, and Jesus had to expose it. Although the text doesn't detail whether she was widowed by deaths of her husbands or divorced her husbands or maybe some kind of mixture of the two, we are told that she is, however, at the current moment, actively living in her sin, living with a man who is not her husband in adultery. By living in her unrepentant life, this woman has deceived herself. She has been drinking from the stagnant cisterns of human relationships, and she is still thirsty. This woman carried a water jar. And I'm not talking about any physical water jar that sat at the well beside her as she talked to Jesus. No, I mean a different kind of water jar that she both carried and relied on so heavily that would never be filled. And by nature, you have that water jar too. That old lifeless cistern you return to day after day. What is your water jar? Perhaps for you, like the woman, it's a relationship. Or maybe it's a career ambition. Or an addiction. Or maybe this grinding need for approval. What is your water jar? Have you ever truly been able to fill it? How is it doing now? It will always run dry. You drag it out in the heat of the day, hoping it will finally fill you up, but always, once again, thirsty. We're like that sergeant who looked to the seawater, only to find ourselves more thirsty than before. In light of all this, Jesus offers his living water, which he describes as a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Now, this does not sound anything like that still, stagnant water of an ancient water hole. This sounds like an active, living geyser shooting up out of the earth and engulfing us with a cool shower. It is self-replenishing. It is moving. It is alive. Imagine a source that never runs dry that comes to you. Surely Jesus isn't talking about any physical water hole or geyser that we can find on this earth. Jesus isn't saying, I'm going to give you a slightly better drink that will last a little while longer. No, instead, I'm going to provide a vigorous, leaping, self-replenishing fountain for you. And Jesus demonstrated this living water for us in showing us that he is the ultimate truth that leads to life. He told the woman, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And he later told his disciples, I am the way and the truth and the life. His perfect life and innocent death pointed God's love straight toward us. The compassion that he showed this woman is evidenced through all the Gospels as Jesus sat with sinners and healed the sick. Not casting them aside, not exalting himself as better than them, even though he most certainly was. Rather, it was to them that he preached the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And so it is for us as well. It was for them and us that Jesus prayed on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And it was us and the whole world that he did indeed win forgiveness for when he triumphantly burst from the tomb like a fountain. This is the moment that truth is declared. When the woman says, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus says, I who speak to you am he. Jesus reveals himself to her right in the middle of her messy life. In doing this, he's proving also to us that he knows us too and loves us fully. Despite her past sins, despite the daily load of that heavy water jar on her shoulders, she's able to finally see the truth of living water. What would happen after this dramatic story? You know, she would run into town, unable to keep hidden what she has seen and heard, telling everyone she meets, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Can this be the Christ? Yet there is a key detail that John leaves for us to ponder. In verse 28, So the woman left her water jar and went away into town. She left the water jar. She just leaves it behind with Jesus. The Samaritan woman has finally found the living water. The thirstiness of her soul has been quenched forever by something lasting, something eternal. It has been quenched by Jesus. So I'll ask you again, what is your water jar? Something in your life that you devote so much attention to, are burdened by, or struggled with. By nature, you probably have many water jars. I know I do. What heavy, empty thing do you need to leave behind? Cast it on Jesus, who instead gives us an ever-flowing fountain of living water that will never run dry. Our faith, our hope, and our eternal life rest solely upon it forever. It will shower upon us and overflow us. There is no need to fill any more jars whatsoever. The gift that was given at that well is still gushing forth for you even today. Amen. We turn to hymn 277, verses 1 and 2, to sing of this living water.